Thank you, Deacon Bruce, and a very good morning to all of you. It felt like we went back to the KL 70th anniversary dinner. So let's give a big hand of applause to every performer and all the parents and all the teachers and every single person that was behind this. Well done, guys. Let's kick off our morning with some self-reflection questions today. First of all, do you sin? I think we all know the answer. Yes, we do. The more important question today is for each one of you, do you sin often? Do you struggle with temptations constantly? Or are you able to say no to temptations with ease? Whatever your answer is, please hold on to that. Secondly, if I was to ask every one of you, where would you say you are as a Christian at this point in your life? Would you say that you are a person who experiences God's love daily? A person who recognizes that God is the source of everything. That you feel happy. That you feel blessed. That you love other people. And more than anything else, you love listening to the Word of God. That you are grateful and joyful for every single day? Or would you say that you can't really explain it, but you're not that happy? That deep down inside, there's an emptiness, there's a loneliness, that you want to change, you want to be different, but somehow you can't do it. That there are things in your life you want to get rid of. There are certain things that you just can't give up. And friends, regardless where your answers fall, either you're experiencing and living a joyful life in Jesus, or you're not. Because something or someone is blocking you. And while you may give many reasons as to why that is, there is only one reason, and that is the devil and your sin. You know, as false preaching becomes more dominant in our societies today, many believers are being misled. It is remarkable how many Christians are living a life not that God wants them to live. And while majority of us understand God's grace and love, we lack a solid understanding about the devil and sin. And if you're wondering, well, why do I need to understand about the devil and sin? Great thought. And I hope you write this down. Because we are living in a constant battle against the devil. A battle that we do not see physically. And trust me when I say this, what we don't see physically, we ignore it easily. So regardless whether you are a Christian or not, you are in this battle. And many of us do not even realize how deeply the devil is holding on to our life and deceiving us. So I urge you today to make some notes. And please put your phones away for a while, because as we flow through this message, I want you to be alert to God's notifications. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity this morning that we gather here today in your name. Oh Lord, Father, we thank you for your mercies, for your grace, and for your promises, and for your abundant love. And this morning, oh Lord, I pray for just one particular prayer topic, oh Lord. As I speak, you may use me as a vessel. And may your words penetrate the hearts and minds and soul of every single listener, Father, so that your will be done and the changes you want in our life may all fall through. In the most wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, quite often, we don't even realize the ease with which we continue to sin. For example, do you know that even the way you think can be sinful? What happens when a Leng Lui or Leng Chai or maybe a hot girl passes by you or is around you? What kind of thoughts are going on in your mind? Whatever they are, I don't want to know. Did you even believe that watching porn was okay? Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5:28. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Another example where most of us continue to struggle is judging people. We judge how people speak, what they wear, how they look, how they do their jobs. Perhaps even in church, we could be judging other people, maybe somebody in praise and worship, or maybe the preacher, and so on. Can you even last 1 hour without judging someone? Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Brothers and sisters, I'm not here to take you on a guilty trip today. I'm here to help you spiritually wake up, to crave for a change inside of you. And we will look at simple but three-step process, which is very effective to help you break your chains and defeat whatever sins that are blocking you to draw closer to God. So let's start with step one. Do you know what is the first step towards solving any problem? Step one, it is to identify the problem. That is to recognize and understand it. And in the context of sin, if you do not recognize or identify what your sins are, how would you end up defeating them or being free from them? A natural question is, well, what is my sin? How do I identify them? Please read and research the Bible diligently. But if you're new to your faith or you find it difficult to understand, we are here to help you. In fact, you can get a copy of this sermon from me. Now, the word sin derives from the Hebrew word kata. Kata means to fail or to miss a goal, or failure to fulfill a goal. What is the goal? The goal is to love God and people. And the reason why human beings consistently fail to achieve this goal is due to our deep and inherent need of being selfish. That we all have desires and urges that make us act on our own benefit at the expense of others. How many of you have been through that? So this morning, I would like to read out a very important passage. But before that, I also wanted to show you what sin is in the New Testament. Now, the Apostle Paul describes sin in the Greek word hamartia, which means something that rules us, a power that rules us, or something that enslaves us, that as human beings, we often end up doing the things that we don't want to do. But here's a passage from the Apostle John, who was a member of the Jesus inner circle, that will show you very clearly a foundation on sin as a Christian. So please pay attention to the slides as I go through this. This is in 1 John 3, verses 4 to 10. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. Because God's seed remains in them, they cannot go on sinning. Because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This passage makes a few principles extremely clear for all of us. Number one, sin equals disobedience towards God. Sin belongs to the devil. And more importantly, the reason Jesus came to earth was to take away our sins and destroy the devil's work, and how eternally we thank him for that. And no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Now, if you're wondering, does that mean if we disobey God, we are not God's children? Absolutely not. We all sin. Continue to sin is the key word here. And if you look at the Greek verb and context, continue to sin refers to a way of life or practice. So if you are a true follower of God, sin cannot be a way of your life, or you cannot continue to practice sin repeatedly. So sin is not about how you define it or society defines it. It is about how God defines it. And because we do not recognize or want to recognize our disobedience, we will not make any efforts to fix it. And that is a dangerous place for you to be in. Which is why you must start with step one. Now, for easy reference, I have some examples of sin from the Bible on this one slide. As you can see, there are sins that are sexual in nature. There are sins that we easily ignore, like lying, greed, jealousy, anger, and so on. So please spend some time researching the Bible to understand your sins. And once you've identified them, this is what I recommend you to do. Write them down on a piece of diary or digital notes or whatever you like every single morning you wake up, and every night before you sleep, read them. Acknowledge them till you're done defeating them. Because recognizing our problems is the key to fixing them. Which brings us to step two, which is to understand why we continue to sin. Why is it so? And in order for you to do that, you must understand how the devil works in your life constantly and tirelessly. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about the devil. But most of us are ignorant about him. You may think your lack of joy, your failures in life, your problems at work, your problems in your relationships is because of you. But while in reality, it could be because you have been unknowingly listening to the voice of the enemy. And thanks to cinema, a popular depiction of the devil is some goat-like creature with a tail and pitchfork and horns who lives in hell. And if this is also your impression of the devil, please note that Jesus calls the devil the prince of this world we live in 3 times in the book of John. So the devil is as real as it gets. He is working in our daily lives every single day. He is crafty. Genesis tells us that. He's a tempter. We also know that he takes away the word sown in some people. And this is why many people go and listen to sermons and YouTube and internet, but the word of God does not seem to change them. He's a murderer, having no truth in him and the father of lies. John 10:10 tells us that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal you away from God. Kill and destroy your relationship with God. He's the God of this age who has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of gospel. He masquerades or disguises himself as the angel of light. This is why there are so many false preachers and teachers and so on. He's a spirit at work in those who are disobedient, and he has been sinning from the beginning. And Revelation 12:9 describes him as an ancient serpent and identifies him as Satan, who leads the world astray. And he is our accuser. Now, friends, the reason why so much is mentioned in the Bible about the devil is because God wants you to understand him. Because the devil is a master of deception. You cannot fight what you don't understand. But what is his purpose? The main purpose of the devil is to make you disobey God, or as we learned today, to make you sin. Whether it is through your doubt, through your lust, through your addictions, through your anger, through your bitterness, through your family or financial pressures, it doesn't matter. He wants your life. 24/7, that is the devil's mission. And if you're wondering why, because the more you disobey God, the weaker your relationship with God. And the weaker your relationship with God, the lesser time you have for him. And the more you expose yourself to the devil. Listen to what Peter tells us and warns us in 1 Peter 5, verses 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, as a Christian, you need not be afraid of the devil at all. But you must 100% be alert of him. Why so? Because your mind is the devil's battlefield. This is where he lives. This is where he has PR, or permanent residential. And if you're wondering why the mind, let's understand it together as we look at how the devil tempts us. First of all, he directs our attention towards a need or desire, especially something you lack and is not good for you, but you still want it. Let me give you an example. Adam and Eve, they were living in a perfect world with food and resources and everything and God's presence. In fact, they had a perfect world, but the only one thing they lacked is what the devil pointed them towards. And we all know how the rest of it goes. They chose death over life. Can you identify the fruit that the devil has been tempting you to eat? Even the best of us, like King David, who was called a man after God's own heart, the Satan pointed him towards a woman that was not his own, but he desired. So please take a pause today in your lives and identify and understand what the devil is pointing you towards. Number two, he attacks us at the very best of time. In Matthew 4, we see a hungry Jesus who has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. In a human body, Jesus had to be really hungry, and the devil knew that. So he goes to Jesus and say, hey, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So the devil knows when we are weak, when you are vulnerable, when you are sad, when you are depressed. So when problems happen in your work, in your personal life, in your relationships, be extremely alert, because the devil is going to come after you at his strongest. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, halt. Take a step back. Pray and be on your guard. Number three, he creates doubt in our mind, especially about God. How many of you have had thoughts like, does God really exist? What if I follow him and not enjoy my life? We only live once. YOLO. YOLO has become the go-to mantra for the youth to enjoy the pleasures of this world. Would you like to guess who is behind the mantra? In Jesus, friend, there is no YOLO. There is only YWLF. You will live forever. Amen. Number four, he uses the word of God to confuse you. So in Matthew 4, Jesus was taken by the devil at this highest point of the temple. And the devil says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And he uses scripture by saying, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan was trying to use the word of God in a twisted manner to confuse and tempt Jesus. And he will do the same to you. Sometime in your life, you will hear, you will read, you will listen to false preaching, and you may get derailed from the path. So be very, very careful of what you hear and see on the internet. Lastly, he uses deception to mislead you. How many times in your life it has happened that you're about to do something wrong, but your mind tells you, it's okay, lah. Just do it. Nobody will find out. Later ask God to forgive. God is a God of forgiveness. Sure can forgive one. Let me tell you a story. In Acts 5, in the early church, we see a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira. Now, they were early believers in the church, and they sold a part of their property, and they wanted to give the proceeds to the church. In fact, many believers were doing that because Jesus had risen from the dead, and the work of the Holy Spirit was strong. So these people, they sell their property, they take the money, but they keep some part of the money for themselves. And his wife knew that. So Ananias takes this money and goes to the disciples and puts it at their feet and goes like, hey, here's all the money from the property we have sold for our church. So he lied. And when Peter confronted him, he fell down and died. And some 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came and she lied too when the disciple asked her. And she died as well. Both of them were blinded in their hearts, being misled by the devil. How do I know that? Listen carefully to what Peter tells Ananias in Acts 5:3. Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Moral of the story is that you too may be blinded and not realize what you're doing, being misled by the devil. Just like Ananias and Sapphira, many of us could be ignorantly following the voice of the enemy in our head. But unlike Ananias and Sapphira, we are still alive. We still have a chance. It is time you take that chance and break free from your sins. Because brothers and sisters, when the devil's first few attempts to tempt Jesus had failed, he gave the whole world to Jesus. He told Jesus, if you only bow down and worship me, this whole world could be yours. And in fact, the devil is offering all of us the same world today. He's offering the same world and seducing us, be it sex or drugs or possessions or property or power. And many people are falling for that. But remember, the result is the same as it was in the beginning. Sin leads to death and misery. Because a mind set on selfish desires cannot obey God. It is as simple as that. Which brings us to step 3, which is the last step in our process, which is all about learning how to say no to sin and the devil. And because our mind is the enemy's battlefield, you must protect and guard and start with your mind. Why? Because everything we do flows from it. In the Bible, the concept of mind and heart is synonymous. So everything we do flows from our heart and our mind. In short, you are or you become what you think. Do you know that there are more than 100 billion neurons in our brain? Those are our brain cells. It's as many as the stars in the galaxy. And can you guess, an average human being on a daily basis, how many thoughts we have every day? 6,000. On a daily basis, the average human being has about 6,000 thoughts. So imagine if those thoughts were about anger, bitterness, greed, lust. You know, there's this quote that says, watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions for they become habits. And watch your habits because they become character. You cannot live a transformative life in Jesus without renewing your mind and without guarding your mind and heart. And how do we do that? Both the Old Testament and the New Testament point us to the same consistent direction, the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And Ephesians 6:11 tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, due to time limitations, I can't deep dive into this armor, but I want you to do it when you go back home today. But just to highlight to you, there is only one offensive weapon in this armor. And that is the sword of the Spirit. And what does the sword of the Spirit represent? It represents the Word of God. So friends, the Word of God is the only offensive weapon you have in the fight against the enemy. Even Jesus used the Word of God to resist the devil. And if I was to pick one consistent principle from the Bible on sin, is that we can't beat sin ourselves. Man has tried and tried and tried and failed and failed and failed. Without the Word of God, we stand no chance against the enemy. But if you are devoted to God and if you read His Word consistently, the enemy has no chance against you. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You must have heard many people, maybe your pastors, your teachers, and your friends tell you, hey, study the Bible daily. Today, I'm telling you why you must do so. You must do so because the devil does not take a rest or a break to attack you. You must do so because the devil does not go on a holiday. He does not sleep or rest. He's lurking right behind you and he wants your life. And the only way you can win is through the Word of God. And what happens when you read the Word of God daily and consistently? Hebrews 4:12 tells us what happens. And if you can, just mark this word within your heart, mind, and soul. For the Word of God is alive and active. It is alive and active. sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even a dividing soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And listen carefully, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In a layman language, the word of God will keep you in check. Friends, the Bible is not a storytelling book that you read for a bedtime story. The Bible is not an inspirational book that you open when you need inspiration. The Bible is a book of life. The Bible is a book of truth. It is alive and active. It is a book of wisdom, of clarity, of power and love that comes directly from the Creator of this universe. The Bible is your greatest possession. Please treat it as such. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. And if you realize that God is your Father and you recognize Him as the Creator of this universe, do you really think that with God's help, you can't beat your sins? The problem is that on Sundays, we hear the Word of God and there's a spark inside of us that we want to change. But how many of us make notes? How many of us remember to put the learnings into our practice? Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. By Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, all of it is gone and you're back into the world and its patterns and the devil's traps. So please take a pause today and analyze how the devil has been working in your life. It is time to let go of your jealousy, your insecurities, your worries, your anger, your bitterness, your guilt, your lust, your addictions, your lies or lying nature, your guilt, or whatever it is that the devil has been using to hold on to you. Because do you know what is the only one thing that you can control about your life? What is that one thing that you can control? It is choice. Right here, sitting and listening to these words, you have a choice. A choice to either follow God completely and obey or do it your own way. You cannot do both. It doesn't work that way. You need to make that choice today. Because we all know that tomorrow does not come. You need to do it today because tomorrow is not guaranteed. It is time you realize that God has paid a great price to redeem you. God has suffered terribly to set us free. And that is why He was born. And that is why we celebrate Christmas. He loves you. God has a plan for each one of you. In fact, God is waiting for you to ask Him about it. It is time for you to break free from whatever sins that are blocking you to come closer to God and walk in His will. Your life, your choice. And remember that as you choose God's way, your mind will start to create doubt and make you think about ifs and buts and maybes. And maybe your mind tells you you're not strong enough, you're not good enough, but you know that that is not your thought. It is coming from the enemy. You are good enough, you're strong enough, because God is your strength. It is time for you to renew your mind once and for all and commit to reading the Word of God on a daily basis. Be it 10 minutes, be it 20 or 30 or whatever. And it is time for you to choose God and not the fruit that the devil has been offering to you. And as I pray, why don't you repent and make that choice right here, right now? Let's pray. Almighty Lord, our Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for this wonderful time to awaken us. Oh Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice that you came into this world to surrender and take away our sins. And in your servitude and in your death and in that terrible suffering, you have taken away our sins. Oh Lord, as we remember the price that you have paid in this battle against the enemy, may you cleanse our heart. Oh Lord, may you cleanse our mind. May you allow us to see how we have been disobeying you, how deeply we have been doing things that we are not supposed to do. Oh Lord, and as we move away from this sanctuary, we may remember that the Word of God is our only weapon in this fight against the enemy. Oh Lord, we pray that your word creates changes deep within our heart, our mind, and souls, so that starting today, we renew our mind and we transform ourselves to live according to your word and your will. And Lord, we will have temptations, we will struggle, and we will fall to some of them. But we pray, Father, that you may guard us and protect us as we go along our way. And may you continue to bless our church and our families and friends. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.